Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I'm going to start with a statement. You're going to go like, no duh, but work with me. That's where I'm going. God operates on a higher level. He operates on a higher level, his ways. In fact, he said this about himself in Isaiah, where he said this. He said, my thoughts, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, that's a challenge. Because if his ways and thoughts are way up here and we're way down here, then we got a gap there. But thank God it doesn't stop there. Because God doesn't leave us ignorant of his ways and his thoughts, he's given us help. He's given us his word. And his word is inspired. And as you begin to read his word, what you begin to see is these are God's ways. You begin to see how he operates, how he functions. You begin to see how he thinks about you, how he thinks about life. You begin to get his perspective. Oh, and that's not all. You also have help from his Holy Spirit, who is sent to teach us and reveal to us. Amen. Now, there's a verse here in Corinthians. Paul was writing the church. I'm going to jump down to the middle of it. As it is written, you see where there, but as it is written, eye is not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Well, if you stop right there, you're like, well, great. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So he gave us the Holy Spirit so we could know what he's given us. Because his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. But he helps us with his word and by his Spirit, so we can begin to know his ways and thoughts. We can begin to operate as individuals on a higher level. Now, for example, if you listen to me, if you listen to my preaching and teaching, if you listen for a while, after a while you start to get to know me. And if you read my devotionals, you're hearing my words, you're hearing what I say. And so you start to get some insight as to how I think and how I talk. But if you talk to Joy, Joy can give you further insight. She knows me better than anybody else. She understands me more than anyone else. Joy knows things about me that you don't know. And she ain't telling. But the idea is they work together. Hear my words, then you hear Joy. You see, we get God's words, and then we have the Holy Spirit. And we're not ignorant of God's ways. We begin to learn God's ways. We begin to operate in God's ways. And that's what makes such a difference in life. It makes a difference in how we live. It makes a difference in everyday life. That's not just for church. This is for life. Now, there's a story in the Bible, and we're going to talk about three key things that are God's ways, and God's ways are
higher.
Good. You guys are quick. It's because you've had breakfast. God's ways are higher. And it's the story of Joshua and the nation of Israel defeating the city of Jericho. Joshua is now the leader. Moses led them out of Egypt, led them through the Red Sea, the water out of the rock. They saw some amazing miracles. And then the people had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they refused to obey God and go into the land. But now they're getting ready to go in. And they're getting ready to go in, and God is talking to Joshua, and the first place they get to see is the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho was at that time the most walled, impenetrable city of its day. It had huge walls. It had walls of stone and mud brick. The first, actually it was two walls. The first wall went up about 36 feet, then there was an embankment, and then there was another wall that went up 46 feet. So it was a huge wall. And so that was their first challenge. Here they come into the land, and that's what they see. But God talks to Joshua. Look at what he says. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go every man straight up before him. Thank God for the word of God. Now, if you're Joshua and you hear that, you're like, what? First thing he says to Joshua, and this is the first point I want to see, is see beyond the obvious. He tells Joshua, he said, see, I've given you the city. Well, Joshua could have kicked back on that. He could have said, Lord, I see the city shut up. I see no one's coming in or out. But Joshua had some understanding of God's ways. Joshua had come through the Red Sea. Joshua had seen the manna in the wilderness. Joshua had seen the water out of the rock. Joshua had watched God stop the Jordan River. So Joshua knew if God says, see, I've given you the city, he understood some of God's higher ways. God often speaks in past tense. I've done this. And you're like, well, Lord, but he's told Joshua, you got to see it. So in other words, Joshua had to see Jericho being defeated before they ever got into the battle. Now, that wasn't just a matter of Joshua walking out one day and go, I have a vision. No, it was he had a promise. God had given him a promise. I've given you the city. And because I've given you the city, then he could begin to see it. Begin to see it. Not necessarily see it physically, but begin to see it on the inside. You ever heard someone say that before? Say, man, I need you to do this and this and this. And you go, I don't see myself doing that. Well, this is kind of the same thing. He said, this time he said, I want you to see I've given you the city. And that principle still applies to us today. Here's the point. Look at this. We have to, God's way. This is God's way. Remember, God's ways are? That's good. That you see beyond the obvious and the visible and the apparent in your life. You see, here's a interesting thing. When you, God's got a plan for you. You. So, Alan, no, you're not playing for you. You're a pastor. I'm just a me. Nope. When you made Jesus your Lord, you got baptized into the body of Christ. So how did that happen? I have no idea. I just believe it. You got baptized. That's one of God's higher ways. You got put in the body of Christ. You're members of the body of Christ. How many of you know with your body functions better when everything functions well? You know, you can't have like, man, my right arm is good. The rest of me is bad. No, no, that's not good. You want everything functioning well. God's got a plan for you. And plan is you got baptized into the body of Christ. What you have to do is begin to see your value and potential in the kingdom of God. Say, well, Alan, I'm not called to be a preacher. Who said you have to be a preacher? God's plan for you. He knows you. He sees you. He knows what your gifts and abilities are. He gave them to you. And he's got a plan for you. It's all involved when you made Jesus your Lord. But what happens is we need to begin to see ourselves from God's perspective. How does God see me? And then it's the very same principle he said to Joshua. See, I've done this. We have to see some things. See what God has done in us. I'll give you a scripture right here. For we, that would be you, are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We're God's masterpiece. But he starts there. This is what God has done in you. See, a lot of times people don't believe what God has for them because they don't see what he's done in them. See, what God has done in you, when you made Jesus your Lord, you became his masterpiece. And you're thinking, no, I'm not a masterpiece. I'm a mess. No, no. You're God's masterpiece. And that's how he sees you. When God looked at Jericho, he saw the walls down. So he told Joshua, those walls are coming down. You need to see it that way. When he looks at you, he sees a masterpiece. So you need to see it that way. And listen, God didn't have an off day when he made you. God doesn't have off days. Now I'm gonna give you a boomer thing. If you're a boomer, you understand this. Back in the day, if you liked a group and they came out with a song, you're like, man, I'm gonna get that song. You had to buy the album. Anybody remember the album? It's like a record, it was black, it was like in vinyl stuff. You had to buy the album. And then later we progressed, if you want to call it that, to 8-tracks. That was not a progression, that was a regression. But anyway, you had to buy the whole album. And with the whole album, typically you would get like one or two really good songs, and most of the other songs were not good songs. But with God, everything's a masterpiece, kind of like the Boston album. Every single song was good on that. Norah Jones came out with an album. Every single song was good. And so you could get the whole album and go, man, this is great. Well, when God made you, he made a masterpiece. And then he made the next masterpiece. And the next, he don't do anything but masterpiece. And so that's what we have to begin to see. And we're seeing it based on what he said. You say, well, Alan, how do I begin to see that? Because I see my life. I see the obvious. I see things that aren't right. I see things that aren't good. I see mistakes I've made. I've seen all this stuff. How do I begin to see it? Well, you're going to have to spend some time looking at it. Anthony Hopkins, the actor, some of you are familiar with him, nominated for 6 Academy Awards, won 2. He won one that was Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter, scary dude. The dude was scary. They say when Anthony Hopkins, in an interview, he said when he gets a script, he reads it between 100 and 200 times, the whole script. Not just his part, the whole thing. And then he begins to make notes in the margins. And then he begins to visualize what it's going to look like on the screen. And he begins to visualize how it's going to play out and what this persona... He begins to internalize this entire script 100 to 200 times so that he's able to take that script and begin to personalize it. And he becomes that character. And you've seen some of his movies. He's an outstanding actor. But here's my thing. If Anthony Hopkins can read a script 100 to 200 times on a fictitious character, how much more should we be able to spend time in God's Word on what the truth is about us? Now, let me give you an example. Right here in Ephesians, this is the New Living Translation. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we're united with Christ. Stop right there. You're thinking, no, God got it wrong. I am not blessed. In fact, my life has been anything but a blessing. I'm cursed. No, this is what you have to begin to see differently. That because you have a union, because you made Jesus your Lord, you have a union with him, you're blessed. You say, well, I don't see that. Well, neither did Joshua when he's looking at the walls, and the walls are up there. And God said, I've given you the city. And when God says you're blessed, you need to look at it and go, thank God I am blessed. I'm the blessed in Christ. Look at what he says. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. You see, God sees you differently than you see you. But when you begin to look at it, and you begin to read God's Word, and you think about it, and you begin to absorb it and take it in, you begin to realize, man, God sees me differently. God sees me as a treasure. We sang that. What did he see in me? He must have seen a treasure hidden underneath. Yeah, he did. He sees who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to see. Here's the next one. You got to stay. You got to stay with God's Word. Stay with God's higher ways. When God spoke to Joshua, he said, Joshua, you're going to have to walk around the city once, and then you're going to walk around the city again. Every day, it took some perseverance and some endurance to fulfill that plan. It didn't happen all at once. They didn't get up there, walk around the city and go, woo, and the whole city falls down. They walked on a Monday and on a Tuesday and on a Wednesday and on a Thursday, and they just kept walking, And there's a principle in that. Not everything comes instantly. There's a walking out of things. And every step they took was a step of obedience. And even though they couldn't see things changing, they're getting closer to their answer. Because God said, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, but I don't see any cracks in the walls. But God said, keep walking. So you're going to keep walking. So, well, what's that got to do with us? Well, here's the thing. You got to stay with God's ways. Stay, that's His higher way, is that you stay with His ways. That you don't try it and then give it up. That you stay with it. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, wrote this, and I love this verse. He said, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, this is where it gets challenging, guys. Because some of you are going, man, I've been praying about this for a long time. I've been praying about, I got a kid that's gone off in the wrong direction, and I've been praying, I don't see them moving any closer. I'm about to give up. I'm about to stop praying. Don't cast away your confidence. You stay with God's ways. Take another lap around. And when you come down to your, some of you who were single, and I've heard this before, you hear single women saying there's no good Christian men. You hear Christian men going, there's no good Christian women. Somehow we got to get you guys together because there are good ones out there. But what happens is, if you're not careful, you're starting to think, man, I've been praying about my potential spouse for a long time, and I'm not seeing anything happen. Maybe if I lower my standards, maybe if I get a nice guy, he doesn't have to be a Christian. He just can be a nice guy. No. Don't do that. Stay with God's higher ways. You just take another lap and you keep praying and you keep trusting that God can get you in the right place. You haven't seen your healing. Don't give up on it. Take another lap. You haven't seen a breakthrough in your business. Take another lap. You haven't seen things change in your family. Take another lap. Don't give up. They couldn't give up after the first day, even though they didn't see anything. And we don't give up till the walls fall. Now, in 1952, July 4th, 1952, a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick stepped in the cold waters of the Pacific Ocean and was swimming a long distance. She was going to set the first woman to swim between Catalina Island and California, 26 miles. As she started swimming, the Pacific is cold. Water's cold. A fog rolled in. She couldn't see anything. And the support boats were having to use rifles to keep the sharks away. She's swimming. She's in the water for almost 16 hours. And because she couldn't see the shore and the fog just got too much, she told him, she said, pull me out. They said, are you sure? She said, pull me out. I can't go any further. They pulled her out. And when they pulled her out, they found out she was 800 yards from the shore. They asked her the next day at a press conference. And she said this. She said, if I could have just, all I could see was fog. If I could have just seen the shore, I could have made it. And I'm thinking, Florence, I understand that. But we're people that live in the middle of the fog and we can't see everything. But we see what God says. And even though maybe you can't see with these eyes, we know there's a shore out there. We know there's an answer. Yes. She, 2 months later, she got back in the water again. She's going to try again. And this time, this is interesting, the fog rolled in again. But this time she said she had a mental image of the shoreline that was so strong, in 13 hours, she made it out of the water. She swam the whole thing. She made it. She didn't quit. And she set a record, a world record, that beat the men's record by 2 hours. That's a boss babe right there. I want to tell you something. I looked at that and I went, we're the men. We need to represent. I looked it up. Do you know that the record between Catalina and California is still held by a woman? That was your. So why is that? Huh? I think when it comes to endurance, women are strong. Joy will tell you that's how she stayed married to me. She endured. So women just don't quit. And so they hold the record, world record both ways. But the idea of God's higher ways is that we don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop believing God can do something good because God keeps His promises. He is faithful. And if He has said it, He will do it. Did we see that? Did we not sing that song this morning? I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I believe it. I've seen how good you are. When you start it, you'll complete it. You just got to keep walking it out. Here's the last one. We have to begin to say in agreement with what God says. His higher ways, we have to agree with, not just in our eyes, not just to see it, not just keep doing our words. Josh would talk to the people, and he was very specific on this. He told them about this. He said the armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpet. So here's the group going around the city. He said you got armed men in front, and then you got priests blowing the trumpets, and then you have the ark of the present, and then you got the rear guard. And so they're all going around the city while the priests continue blowing the trumpets. That's a ram's horn. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and had breakfast and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times, and the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets, then Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, they took the city. Now, when you read that, listen to what Joshua said to these guys. He said, do not talk. Do not utter a word. You say, well, man, why is he's kind of being kind of hard on that. Because 40 years earlier, Joshua remembered, because he was part of that team of spies that went into the land, and when they came back out, Joshua and Caleb are like, let's go get it. 10 guys said, we can't do it. The walls are big. The people are big. We can't do it. And they spoke so much death over that, that the whole nation of Israel had to wait till everyone over the age of 20 would die off. Joshua and Caleb are 40 years waiting because people were saying words that did not agree with God. They were speaking that. And so he's like, don't say anything. Well, why? Because you know, if you're walking, you know people are going to talk. Like you're talking all the way to your car going, I don't believe how hot it is. We have to go to church when it's hot. Wish we had one of those people drive by with the carts. I don't know where the carts are when you need one. I know none of y'all ever said that. I'm just hypothetical. But you know they would have been talking. Man, I'm tired of walking. You tired of walking, Bubba? Yeah, we've been walking the whole time. Have you seen those walls move? I hadn't seen nothing, man. I hadn't seen a crack. I hadn't seen a brick fall. I hadn't seen nothing. We just walking, and the priests are blowing the horn. And we got to listen to the horn, and we got to do this. I'm tired of doing this. I wish we could do something else. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to do a committee to tell Joshua that this is wrong, and we need to stop by Thursday. Just do the seven times on Thursday, and then we're out of here. They had to talk themselves right out of it. Amen. So he said, don't say anything. He said, here's another thing too. It's interesting. He said, you shout before the walls fell down. You see, anybody can shout when the walls fall. It's like you ever watch a basketball game? It's tight. It's tied up. There's 5 seconds left. The crowd's like this. No one's shouting until someone hits the basket in the last second, and then everyone's like, ah! They're shouting then. No one shouts ahead of time, but God's people, God's ways are higher ways. He said, you shout before the walls fall down. And they shouted and the walls fell down. You say, what has that got to do with me? Because we're God's people and we operate in his higher ways. And he says this, we got to do this. God's way is that your words agree with what he said. And you say, well, why? Well, it's just, come on, Alan, it's just saying stuff. You know, I'm just saying. Well, it's not just saying. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen, you don't talk death about God and what he's doing. Don't talk death about your life. Don't talk about your, you know, I don't know, I've been going to church and I haven't seen any change. You know, my whole family, they're more messed up now than they were before we started going to church. And I haven't seen my wife change at all. She is still jacked up and she's the problem I have and I've got a problem at work. And this is just not good. And if you're not careful, you'll start speaking death over what God has for you. And you don't want to do that. You want your words to agree with God. You say, well, I don't even know what God said. I don't want to agree with him. Then be quiet. Just don't say anything. Take the Thumper rule. Thumper was a Bambi movie. Thumper was a little rabbit. And his mama said to him, Thumper, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. It's a good thing to say. You say, well, Alan, what do I say? I was thinking about this, and the Lord gave me a poem. So here's what you say. Thank you, Lord, for help before I see it. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom before I know. Thank you, Lord, for peace before I feel it. Thank you, Lord, for strength when it seems that I can't go. Thank you, Lord, for mercy when I don't deserve it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness when I slip in sin. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that gets me through the crazy. Thank you for your presence that always dwells within. Thank you, Lord. You can say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Look, thank you, my family's turning around. Thank you, things are turning around for me in my career and in my job. Lord, I want to thank you that there's a spouse out there for me and they're wonderful. And I want to thank you that you got a plan for me in your kingdom. I want to thank you. What are you doing? You're speaking life. 1990, Joy and I caught hands. We were stuck in North Carolina. We had no money. We had no way of moving. We're doing a job we couldn't do. Church failed. But we caught hands in 1990, and we prayed, and I remember as we prayed, I said this with my mouth. I said, this is going to be our best year ever. Well, guys, the walls were still up. But I had it in my heart, this was going to be our best year. And in the course of that year, Joy's relative had some swamp land that sold, and we had the money to move, and not only move, we had the money to put a down payment on the home that we used to rent, and God opened up a door and a job for me, and by the end of the year, we were in the best shape financially we had ever been in, but I did not speak death over that year. Don't do it. Don't speak death. Let your words agree with God. If he says you're a masterpiece, stop calling yourself a mess. If he says you're chosen in love, stop saying you're forgotten and God doesn't care. Just begin to say, Lord, I am what you say. And thank you. You continue to do that. You'll see it. And when you see it, it'll change you. It'll change your life. You know, the thing I love about this story was God was with them the whole time they were walking. The whole time. They had the ram's horns. They're walking around. They keep hearing those ram's horns. Those are the priests reminding them God was there. They had the Ark of the Covenant there. And golden angel wings on top of it. The mercy seat is amazing. It's where the Ten Commandments were in. It represented the presence of God. God was with them every time they're taking a lap. And he's with you every time you're taking a lap. You say, well, what's the ram's horn for me? When you open his word, you get his sound coming in. His words are his sound, and you begin to read what he's saying, and those are the ram's horns, and then his Holy Spirit living on the inside of you is his presence that never leaves you and never forsakes you. He goes with you every step of the way. Take another lap. You can do this. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? We'll be out of here in just a couple of minutes. You'll give me a second, but if you came and you said, you know, Alan, I don't know that I have a relationship with the Lord, but I want to. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with the Lord and I got away from him, but I want to come back. I'm in church today because I want to be back. Man, you came to the right place. This is great. You're watching online. This is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. Sitting right in your chair, right where you are, or watching online, this is your time to connect with the one that loves you more than anybody else. Someone's got a plan for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you say, Alan, would you pray for me? I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be sure. I want to come back. Just shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium and say, would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. If you're online, I can't see you. Maybe you didn't lift it, but you wanted this. Well, you can pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. I'm going to lead you in it. We're going to pray with you as a church family. If you're online, if you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But pray this prayer. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Now, real quickly, with heads still bowed, Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who've come back to you, for those who've come to you for the very first time. And Father, for the rest of us, we thank you that we're learning your higher ways. We're learning to operate on a higher level. Thank you for your word, your spirit. Thank you for what you're teaching us. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.